Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Lovely to be back with you here today. Now, if you are new to this church malarkey, and you're wondering why on earth we have got a cockerel up there, there is a reason, because at St. Bees over Easter, we were looking at Peter denying he even knew Jesus, and there were cockerel crowing three times. And it's just a reminder to us that actually, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, even if we've denied Jesus, that we can be forgiven. So that's why that's up there. Don't worry, we don't worship a cockerel. It's fine. We're going to start with a little quiz this morning. We've got 10 little questions for you. I need you to be honest about this at the end, whether you can get 10 out of 10 or not. And there are some urban myths and there are some truths in the questions that I'm going to ask you. And some of the answers are a little controversial, but my researcher worked hard at these, and he is 6'4", so please don't disagree with him. And so we're going to start with this slightly controversial one. Let's put the picture up here. Okay. Very apt, I feel, for today. Linda and I may have a little argument later about this. Okay. Remember, you have to keep your own scores. If you don't trust the person next door to you, you can take their score as well. Okay, can you see the Great Wall of China from space? If you think you can, put your hand up. If you think you can't, put your hand up. It is an urban myth, apparently. Apparently, you cannot see the Great Wall of China from space. And apparently, there was a Chinese astronaut who crushed that myth, because when he went into space, he said, actually, great idea, but you can't actually see it. Okay. Second one. You know when your granny used to say to you, oh, I can feel it in my bones, we're going to have a storm. Is that an urban myth? Is it true or is it false? If you think that's true, if you'd like to put your hand up, please. If you think that's false, if you'd like to put your hand up. It is actually true. Apparently, there's something to do with arthritis and joints and things swelling up when the temperature, pressure goes down. And so if you have got arthritis, as many elderly people do, then you can tell whether there is a storm coming or not. Okay. You know when your granny said to you, lots of grannies here, if you don't know what to do, dear, then sleep on it, because you'll have the answer in the morning. Is there actually any scientific facts to that? If you think it's true, put your hand up. If you think it's false, put your hand up. Well, apparently it is true. Scientists did some work around this, and it's true because your subconscious, when you sleep, helps you to process things better, which allows you to come up with a better outcome than you would have had if you hadn't had to sleep. Interesting fact there. Oh, now, ladies, gents, you can listen in, that's fine. You know when your mum used to say, oh, don't start shaving your legs, dear. or waxing them for that matter, because the hair will just grow back faster and it'll be thicker. How many mums have said that or have had that said to them? Yes, yeah. Is that true or is that false? If you think it's true, put your hand up. If you think it's false, put your hand up. It is actually false. Again, they have done some experiments on it, and it doesn't make a heap of the difference whether you shave or wax to the fastness of it growing back or to the thickness of it growing back. So, not true at all. Now, this one's an interesting one, an interesting character. There's an amazing amount of urban myths about this man. This is Walt Disney. So, is Walt Disney cryogenically frozen? Don't burst into a song at this point. What do we think? Okay, if you think it's true, put your hand up. If you think it's false, put your hand up. It is actually false. It is a huge urban myth, though. The urban myth goes that he's cryogenically frozen in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. How exciting is that? But unfortunately, it is not true. Okay. Babies. If a woman has a lot of heartburn when she's pregnant, does it mean that she is going to have a hairy baby? Everybody's turning to each other. Right, do we think that one's true? There's not very many of you, is there? You're not very trusting, are you? Or do we think that's false? Ha! You're wrong. It's true. It's true. And there is a scientific fact behind that one. The scientific fact is that if women have more estrogen in their bodies, not only does it give you hairier babies, but it also loosens your... Is it esophagus? Is that esophagus? That bit there, which means that the acid can come back up and you get heartburn. Who would know that? Okay, here we go. True or false? On the first Good Friday, did the sky turn black in the afternoon? If we think that's true, if you'd like to put your hand up. If you think that's false, if you'd like to put your hand up. Well, actually, three of the four Gospels say it's true. So we'll go for that one. How are we doing? Anybody got them all right so far? Or mostly right so far? Oh, a few mostlys, very good. Okay, on the first Good Friday, the huge temple curtain was torn not from the bottom to the top, so like somebody got a big pair of scissors and went rip, but from the top to the bottom. Do we think that is true? Put your hands up. If you think that's false, put your hands up. Well, Matthew 27 verse 51 says that's actually what happened. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? That it tore from the top to the bottom, not the bottom to the top. On the first Good Friday... This is quite freaky. Were some of the dead resurrected but stayed in their tombs for 2 days and then went into Jerusalem? It's really quite weird, isn't it? What do we think? Is that true? Put your hand up if you think that's true. If you think that's false, put your hand up. Well, interestingly, Matthew 27 verse 52 to 53 actually talks about that. I'd read the Easter story forever and a day, and then when I was reading it this year, it just leaped out at me. It's like, how weird is that? Very, very odd. And then, last but not least, on the first Good Friday, was there an earthquake and the rocks split open? Do we think that's true? Do we think that's false? Well, Matthew 27, verse 51 says that is exactly what happened. Anybody get 10 out of 10? 9 out of 10. Oh, well done, guys. Give yourselves a round of applause. Woo! There were some amazing true things that happened on that first Good Friday. Let's just put up those four for me. Utterly amazing things that happened. But you know, there were people who experienced that, not just who read about it in the Bible or who heard about it, but there were people who actually experienced that. And then they went back to normal everyday life. They saw God's power in action. But all they could do was talk about it. You know, do you remember when the sky turned dark? Do you remember when the curtain tore from the top to the bottom? Do you remember when the dead were raised? Do you remember that massive earthquake when the stones all split? But there were people as well during Jesus' life who saw some amazing things too. And yet they carried on with their everyday lives. Nothing seemed to change for them. Even though they might have said things like, oh, do you remember that amazing healing? Remember that guy? He couldn't see and then he could see. Or remember that time when Jesus fed all those people with just a few loaves and a few fish. There were people who saw the amazing power of God, maybe who talked about it afterwards, but actually it didn't affect their lives. It was like they were okay with the story of Good Friday and everything that had happened, but they never moved on to Easter Sunday and the resurrection and affecting their lives. But there were those who did Good Friday, Easter Saturday, and they waited and they watched for Easter Sunday. And we're going to watch a little video now about what happened on that first Easter Sunday.
Let me tell you a story. You may not believe me. I barely believe it myself. But I can't dispute what my soul knows.
Peter! John!
It's all true.
Come see this.
Everything he said.
The tomb.
Every impossible detail.
It's empty.
It's all true. When we lose hope. There may be days when we deny.
I don't know him.
When our faith loses its footing.
You have me confused. I don't know him.
And we stumble along our way.
I said I don't know him!
What has been found? What has been defeated? What has been forgiven? What was once dead has new life. What was once old has been made new. What was once finite has been made eternal. May we remember and follow the risen way.
I just love the sheer joy they've portrayed there on Peter's face. Amazing, that Easter morning. But what you don't see there, what they haven't portrayed there, is what happened to Mary next. You see her at the beginning, but you don't see what happened to her. And Don's going to come up and read from the Bible now. What happened to Mary on that first Easter morning? If you need a Bible, just put up your hand in the hospitality team. Would love to give you a Bible to look at.
If you want to follow it, it's on page 1028 in the Bible. Beginning at verse 11 of chapter 20 of the book of John. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet descended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thanks, Don. I always think there is a slight hint of a tease in Jesus' voice there. Well, there's certainly a kind of smile when he says, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? You've got to remember that Mary knew Jesus really well, and Jesus knew Mary very well. She knows him. There's something familiar, and yet she doesn't know him. And then he says her name. Then he says, Mary. And immediately she knows it's him, that it's really him, that he really is who he said he was. He really is the King of Kings and the Lord of all, that not even death could hold him. He really could forgive all of her sins and heal her sickness. He really could bind up her broken heart and bring justice to the unjust world that she was living in. He really was who he said he was. He really was the King. And you know, there are those of us who are like the people that first Easter. We have seen and we have heard and we've even talked about the power of God and the wonderful things that he has done. And we've been happy to sit in that place of Good Friday. And yet we haven't moved to that place of resurrection, of Easter Sunday. We haven't stopped and waited to hear Jesus call our names, to hear the King call our names. I just want to show you another quick video now about our King. The penny that dropped for Mary that first Easter morning.
No other king could vanquish the war horse or silence the warrior's rage while riding the lowly back of a donkey. No other king could break the dominion of darkness, the tyranny of evil, with a reign of grace and a kingdom of peace. No other king could give his life for the redemption of rebels, his wealth to welcome the outcast. Jesus is that King, the King of glory, Son of the living God. Not just another king, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He was the one the world had been waiting for, the one to deliver us from captivity, the Son of David and Abraham's chosen seed. He is the goal of the Mosaic Law, Yahweh in the flesh. He is the one to establish God's reign and rule, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. This Jesus was the Creator come to earth and the beginning of a new creation. He embodied the covenant, fulfilled the commandments, and reversed the curse. This Jesus is the Christ that God spoke of to the serpent, the one prefigured to Noah in the flood, the one promised to Abraham, the one guaranteed to Moses before he died, the one promised to David during his reign, the one revealed to Isaiah as a suffering servant, the one predicted through the prophets and prepared for through John the Baptist. He is the Father's Son, Savior of the world, and substitute for our sins. More loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. He is our Jesus, and there is no other king like him. He is our God, our glory, our victorious Savior. There is no other king like him. There is no other king.
There is no other king like him. But have you settled for Good Friday and hearing and talking about his power, rather than waiting for that Easter Sunday resurrection, rather than waiting to hear him call your name. Because as soon as he calls your name, you will know that it is really him, that he really is who he said he was, that he is really the king and he is really the Lord of all, that not death, not even death could hold him, that your sins are forgiven and there is hope for healing for your sickness, that he is able to bind up your broken heart and bring justice to this world, that he really is who he says he is. He is really our king. But you know, if he is our king, if we do move from Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday, if we hear him call our name, that means he is the king. That means he does rule and reign in our lives. It means he can tell us to move from China back to the UK or from the UK to China. It means everything is under the king's rule and reign. Everything. How we spend our time, whether we spend our time doing BSEM, how we spend our money, what we do with our things, are our relationships under his rule and reign? Is our future under his rule and reign? So, where are you today? Are you in Good Friday? Have you heard about the wonderful things he's done? Maybe even seen and experienced it. And maybe you've even talked about it. But actually, you haven't really let that affect the whole of your life. You know about him, but you don't know him. You haven't heard him call your name. And in a minute, if that's you, if you want to move from Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday, if you want to know him personally rather than know about him, if you want to hear him call your name for that very first time, then in a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that. And just get yourself ready, because actually there's a couple of you sitting there now whose hearts are just pumping away. And that's just the Holy Spirit. And he just wants to bring new life to you today. So don't say no, 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 and push that down. Say yes, 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 God. Okay? And then there are those of us who we need to come back to that garden tomb. That we once again need to hear Jesus call our names. We need fresh understanding that there is no other king, that he is the king and the Lord. And therefore we need to lay everything at his feet. So I just want to give you that opportunity. If you know that maybe you've hung around church quite a long while, maybe you're new in today and you've never been to church before, and you know that you know about God, but you don't know him, that you've heard the stories, you maybe even have seen some stuff, but you want to know him personally today, I want to invite you just to stand up where you are now. And I know that's a big ask, asking you to do that. And if you're really nervous doing that, if you've come with somebody today, why not give them a nudge and they can stand up with you. But I just want to give you that opportunity and that chance today, that if you want to go from knowing about Jesus to knowing him personally, that you can just stand up and say, yeah, that's me. And I want to know him today. And then there are those of us who need to come back to the garden tomb. We've been there before, we've heard his voice. And if you know you need to come back and hear his voice, you need that fresh understanding that there is no other king, and you want to lay it all down before him now. Just as the band come back up, I just want to invite you to come to the front. Why don't we all stand for a minute? And if you want to lay it all down before God again, just as we start to worship, why not come to the front? The prayer team are going to be up the front. They'd love to pray with you. Lord, we love to hear about all that you've done. We love to see all that you do. But Lord, hearing you call our name is so much more important. Then it all makes sense. Then we realize that you are the King and you are the Lord. Just come. Come if you know you need to just hear him call your name again. Just as we worship, come.